It's good to be able to be here this evening to worship God together. We're going to look tonight at the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament time, and his work was to not only to call the people of Israel back to God's law, which he did for the most part of the book, but also to look forward to the time of the coming of the Messiah. And so each group of people he talks about in the book of Malachi were people that needed to understand their work and understand what God wanted of them to be faithful, not only be faithful to the law while they were living, but to look for that Christ, the Messiah, that was going to come. They didn't know when, but it was going to be 400 more years, but still, he was preparing them and all the people from that time to the coming of Christ for what was going to happen. And in Malachi chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, he said, "For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from your way. You have caused many to stumble at the law, and you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts." Now, he was calling the priests, the Levites, the people chosen from God, and their tribe was set apart from all the other tribes of Israel to be the tribe of the priests. Now, normally think of the priests, we think of going to the temple and offering the sacrifices and those things at the temple. But that was just actually a small part of the work of the priest. Normally, the priest of God would only serve at the temple or the tabernacle maybe three or four times and maybe in their entire lifetime. All the rest of the time was to be teaching and guiding and interpreting the law for people. And that was their primary duty. And so the priest's duty under the law of Moses was specifically and exclusively for the tribe of Levi. They were to hear the message and believe it and obey it and teach the people to do the same. And of course, they themselves were to be the examples. They were to be the keepers of the law as an example to everyone else. But many didn't do that, as verse 8 says there in Malachi chapter 2. "But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts." In fact, the tribe of Levi was specially chosen to be the priests. And in the book of Hebrews, for example, there's a couple of passages that make reference to the fact that when Jesus Christ, who is our high priest now, when he was upon the earth in physical form, he could not be a priest of God. He couldn't go into the temple because he was not of the tribe of Levi. That's how important that distinction was. And we turn over for a moment to Isaiah chapter 56. In Isaiah chapter 56, Isaiah the prophet, of course, is the writer there. And in Isaiah 56, in verses, beginning at verse 10, he says there, his watchmen are blind, and they are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping and lying and loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough, and they are the shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, and everyone to his own gain. From his own territory. "Come," one says, "I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink, and tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant." Now, he's writing there about the priests and about the people of God that should have known better, that they were supposed to set the example. They were supposed to be the ones to set the example for all Israel, how they are to keep the law, how they are to serve God and be faithful. But they didn't fulfill their responsibility. In fact, if anything, They often even made it worse. What about us? Because we, under the new covenant, if we are in Christ, we are the priests of God today. We are the priests of God under the new covenant. Don't have to be born into a specific tribe of people to be a priest of God. You don't have to wear some strange clothes and have a different kind of collar you wear and other kind of things like that to be a priest. All of us who are in Christ, if we have believed and obeyed the gospel of Christ, we are the priesthood of God. And so what is our responsibility? We'll go back to what he said to the priests under the law of Moses as Malachi was talking to them. He says the priest's lips should keep knowledge. In other words, like I said before, one of the main things that the priests were required to do was to study and teach the law of Moses, the law of God, what we call the Old Testament, the entirety of it, but in particular, the books of the law. They were to teach to God's people. But in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected me from being your God. I have rejected you from being my people." And so the priests obviously were not doing the job and the work that God told them to do. And again, like I said, there is only maybe a few times in their whole lives that they would serve actually at the temple or the tabernacle before that, and maybe offer incense or offer the animal sacrifices or whatever they were required to do. And so the rest of time, their job and their work was to teach the knowledge of God to the people. And so they often didn't do that. Under the law of Moses, that was really their primary responsibility, was teaching by word of mouth, by writing, by example, and all of those things. And in fact, you go back to the book of Leviticus, one of the five books of the law. And the book of Leviticus, as the name indicates, was written specifically for the tribe of Levi. In fact, it was what we might call the instruction book for the Levites, for the tribe of Levi. Well, we, as the priests of God today, as he said to them, the priest's lips should keep knowledge. So we need to keep knowledge too. In other words, to study and to learn, and the best we can to teach it to others, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, the people around us, other Christians who might need help in studying and learning. We're to do that. And that's what the priests were to do then. Now, we don't have a specific book, one written for us and the others. What we have is the entire Bible, and in particular, the New Testament. That's where we learn how to be a Christian and what a Christian needs to do. And we are the priesthood of God. And also he says chapter 2 and verse 8, says, "But you have departed from the way, and you have caused many to stumble at the law." Now again, verse 7, he says, "For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth." In other words, we need to follow their example. They were to be the guides for the people of Israel in keeping the law. And that was their primary responsibility. It says, seeking the law at his mouth. In other words, they were to come to the priests to have the word of God, the law interpreted, if they didn't understand it, to teach them so they could understand it and better follow it. And that was their responsibility. We'll go back to Deuteronomy, for example. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and beginning of verse 4. In that particular passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, he says there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words I command you today shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them and when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on the gates. In other words, it was to be kept before them all of the time. Now, the priests had the primary responsibility, but every father and mother in the people of Israel were to keep these things before their children all of the time. And they were to teach them that you are to teach your children, and they are to teach their children. And that's the same principle for us today. And it says also, so seeking the law from his mouth. To seek, that means we have to put forth an effort to do it. It doesn't come automatically. God doesn't just open up our mind and pour the knowledge in. We have to take time. We have to study. We have to learn. And so God wants us to do that. We turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus, of course, there in the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. He says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks shall find. And he who knocks, it will be opened." Same principle that he's talking about to the priests of his own day. They have to put forth an effort to knock, seek, ask and seek and knock, that the door will be open to knowledge and understanding. But the priests were required to have that knowledge, to constantly study the law. And so they would know what God required of the people and know what to teach to them. In Psalms 119 and verse 11, David said, "Your word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So the purpose of the teaching of the law to the people of Israel, and for us, teaching of the message of the New Testament, and setting an example in doing it, is to keep the message before the people all of the time, whether it's our family, friends, relatives, whatever it might be. And he says there in Psalms 119, verse 111, "Your word have I laid up in my heart." We can't teach others unless we have learned ourselves first. We have to put forth the effort to be able to take the time to learn and to study and to read and to better know the Word of God each day we live. And so he said, "Your word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against you." You know, King David wrote that. And if you read the 119th Psalm, which is 176 verses, and each section of that 119th Psalm is a message about the Word of God and what it meant to David and what it should mean to you and me. And so the priests were required to do that. And by seeking the law of God, they could live it and teach it to others. And that's what God wants for us to do today. It says then, "He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." If you go back and read in the giving of the law in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, all those four books, one of the things that was repeated over and over again about the tribe of Levi, they were the ones to hold on to the law, to set the example, to teach it. They were the messengers of God. They were the messengers of the king, if you will. God being the king over Israel. And Christ is the king over us. So we follow the same example. And they were to take that to the subjects of the king. Well, we're the subject of the king. But we're also to take that message to others who would be the same by believing and obeying the gospel. So we have that responsibility. You turn over for a moment to Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 9 and in verse 15. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. This is when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, and now he'd been sent into the city. And it says in chapter 9, verse 15, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things that he must suffer for my name's sake." That's what the Lord spoke to Ananias. Ananias had heard of Saul of Tarsus. In fact, when the Lord told him to go and speak to Saul of Tarsus, and he argued with the Lord, he said, "Lord, don't you know what this man has done? He's arrested and imprisoned and even killed Christians, and now he's come to Damascus to do the same thing. Don't you know that, Lord?" The Lord said, "What he said here, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Well, that was Paul's responsibility as he became the Apostle Paul. Well, that's our responsibility too. He says, "I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." When Saul of Tarsus was known as Saul of Tarsus, and he was persecuting the Christians in Acts 23 and verse 1, he said before the Sanhedrin council, he said, "I did all these things with a clear conscience, because I really believed I was doing right." Well, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he found out right there he was wrong. And when Ananias came to him and preached the message of the gospel, he says, Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And when he did that, then he became one of the greatest men of his time, the great Apostle Paul. But notice it says, in Malachi, he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, in other words, God. The priest was to be the messenger of God to the people of Israel. We as the priests of God today, are to be the messengers of God to the people around us. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9, the term in some translations used there is Lord of Sabaoth. Now, that's not Lord of Sabbath. This is Lord of Sabaoth, a different word, and it means the Lord of hosts. In other words, the king, the general, if you will, of all of the Lord's army. And that is Christ, our Lord and Savior. And they were to take the message to them. We're to do the same. We're to be the messengers of the Lord of Sabaoth, the king, the general over the army. Of course, Christ is the head over the army of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, says, "He is the head of the church, which is his body." And so we are part of the church. We are individuals who are part of the church, the family of God, the messengers of God to all those who are around us. Okay, we go back to Malachi chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "But you have departed from the truth. You have caused many to stumble at the law." He says in verse 8 then, he says, first of all, "You have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law." It is because you, the priests of God, have turned away from my will and my way. They have followed you. And what he's saying, basically, if you will be faithful, then your example will lead many to me. But he says, you've turned away from that, and you've caused people to go away from God. Turning aside from the way is God's way, of course. And it caused others to stumble and fall back into sin. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 39, Jesus asked the question there, can the blind lead the blind? Well, the obvious answer is no. He says, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Well, we're spiritually blind if we don't study and learn and obey and follow the things which the Lord's message says. And it was the same for them under the law. And Jesus made reference on several occasions of the blind leading the blind. They should have known, and many of them could actually quote large sections of the Old Testament, but they didn't put it into practice, and they did not apply the things that God wanted them to understand. And so they were leading people astray. They were not leading them to God's way. And, of course, they corrupted the covenant that God made with the people. God had to remind them over and over again, starting within the law itself. They were reminded over and over that God had given them the covenant, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and all the law that went with it, starting at Mount Sinai. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, which is what's sometimes called the second giving of the law, when they had gone through the wilderness for 40 years and now they were on the east side of the Jordan River, they had not yet entered the promised land, Moses repeated the Ten Commandment law to them in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And he began by saying, God made this covenant, this covenant with you and with us, even us who are all here today. He didn't make it with anybody else except us. And so he was telling the people of Israel, you have to keep this law because you're the God's chosen people under the law of Moses, and you have to hold on to it and keep it. But many of the priests under the law of Moses didn't. Not only didn't they keep the law, they rejected it and lived their own way. Now, sometimes they would teach the law properly. Even Jesus acknowledged on one occasion by saying that, well, you listen to what the Pharisees say, because the Pharisees were teaching the truth of the law. But he says, don't do what they do, because they teach one thing and they do something else. He says, but they were teaching the truth. So we have to teach the truth. We have to live it also. So they had corrupted the covenant by the fact that they didn't live up to it. Our responsibility then as the priests of God is under the new covenant. Again, we go back to what Malachi said in verse 8. But if you have departed from the way, you have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. You have corrupted this great law, which I have given to you to direct you to salvation, to eternal life, and to acceptance of the coming of the Messiah. So what are we supposed to do as God's priesthood today? Turn over to 1 Peter, and then, 1 Peter chapter 2. And then Peter, of course, writing here concerning the fact that we are indeed the priests of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That sounds a lot like the responsibilities of the priests under the Old Testament, that we don't have to make an animal sacrifice. We don't have to offer a bull or a goat or a pigeon or a dove or whatever the sacrifice which was required. But notice he says, your living stones are built up a spiritual house. It's a spiritual household of God, a holy priesthood. We're a holy priesthood of God. When we believe and obey the gospel, we become a child of God. We become a Christian, a follower, a disciple of the Lord. We become part of the priesthood of God to offer, and he says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we're not to offer animal sacrifices or those kind of things. We're to offer spiritual sacrifices. You go back to the book of Romans, and Paul says to give your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And that's what we are to do as the priests of God. Now, look down in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So Peter emphasizes again, he says, but you are a chosen generation. You go back to Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus is foretelling of the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the people who have rejected him as the Christ and what's going to happen to them. And he talks about all the plagues and everything that are going to come. And he says, all of this will come upon this generation. this generation that had refused to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, they were going to be severely punished in that life, but also the life that is to come. But he says to us, "But you are a chosen generation." When we believe and obey the gospel, we talked about it this morning, we are predestined to eternal life. We are chosen ones of God, not because He chose us the day we were born and one's going to be lost and one's going to be saved. That's not what predestination is. It means we are chosen because we believe and obey the gospel of Christ. Through that, He chose us. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That means our king is also the high priest, and our high priest is also the king. You have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, to the time of his name escapes me now, from the Old Testament. He was both king and priest at the same time. He was the one that blessed Abraham. It'll come to me in a minute. But that's the example that Jesus was in the book of Hebrews. Somebody say his name. Melchizedek. Okay, I knew it was right there sometime. But that's the same kind of priesthood. He was both king and priest at the same time. And now Jesus is. And so you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are the children of God. We are the nation of God. He is our king. We are His people. But notice how he goes on with that. His own special people. Now under the law of Moses, God's own special people were the Jews, the Israelite nation, the descendants of Abraham. Well, that's what we are now today. No longer is a specific race of people upon the earth the people of God opposed to everybody else. It's those who believe and obey the gospel. That's why Colossians 2 says Jesus, when he came to the cross, he nailed the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, to the cross with him there. It was taken out of the way. And we have the new. We're his own special people. And there's a responsibility that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're called out of the darkness of the world into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And that we have to keep that knowledge before others. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul told Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It takes time, it takes effort, it takes study. It takes seeking His Word always. Every day we live, we need to take just a little bit of time, even if it's a minute or two, to study and to learn more of God's Word and to read what He said. Every day we do that, we will build ourselves up in our faith and understanding. In Isaiah chapter 55, the Bible says, God said to Isaiah, "My word which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return unto me void." If we study and learn it, and we teach it to others, it's not going to return void. Now, we may not always see the end result of what we've done in teaching, but somebody's going to hear it, somebody's going to believe it, they're going to follow it. And so that's what God wants of us, to do the same. We have to be His messengers by word and action. Every day we live. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when Jesus was about to ascend back to the Father, He called His disciples together and they came together. He went up to a mountain where He was going to ascend back to His Father. He told them, "Go and stay in the city and you'll receive power from on high." He says, "When that happens, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world." And so that's what they did. They fulfilled it. Mark 16:15, He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." The priests of Malachi's time had a duty to perform. Most of them didn't do that. Now, there were always some that were faithful. Malachi was a faithful prophet. And there were some in his day that were faithful to God, but by and large they didn't. They refused to stay faithful to God's will. But we don't have to follow their example. We can follow in the ways of God. And so turn for a moment over to Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Here the writer, King Solomon, says in chapter 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Now, that's a promise of God to you and me. And if we'll do that, if we follow the message of Malachi and the message of the New Testament also, we believe Him, we obey Him, and do our best to teach others and set an example. And yes, we're going to fall short sometimes. We're going to sin. We're not going to live up to what we ought to be. But if we try and come back and repent, the grace of God will forgive and give us the promise of eternal life. This evening, if there is a need in your life to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come now as together we stand as we sing.